I'm going to read to you. Have we read the Bible this morning yet? No, I don't think we have. Listen, the Bible says this. Give attention to the public reading of Scripture. I'm now operating a little bit fatherly than prophetically or whatever. Give attention to the public reading of Scripture. The danger is that you, with personal testimonies and appeals that we've had today and all that, is that we unwittingly forget about reading the Bible in public. It's a real classic thing amongst charismatics. And I would say, read chunks of the Bible. I'm going to read them to you. It's not a big chunk. It's from Philippians chapter 4. Is it going to come up? Yes, it is. I'm going to start before what's on the screen. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for. I want to tell you this. I love you here. You are one of the, I don't feel the top church. Bracknell would be the top church for my love. But I love you. You're near the top. You say, well, who else is near the top? I don't know. Perhaps you are second. But I want to say, I don't know some of you. So you say, how can you say you love me if you don't know me? That may be the reason why I do love you. If I got to know you, perhaps I wouldn't love you. But I do love you. And I want to say this. You've always been wonderfully generous and kind and affirmative. I want to thank you for that. You may never see my face again. You may never hear my voice again. I may never see yours. I want to say, when I read this, I think this is me. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. You know, obviously a bit of a disagreement here. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel. It's not only women who argue, you know that, don't you? They have their fair share, but so do the men, just done differently. Along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Let me ask you, is your name in the book of life? You know how to get your name in the book of life? Just believe in Jesus. Jesus died as a sacrifice for sin. That was God's way. I don't know. I keep saying to God, why did you do it this way? And why did Jesus come on the scene so late? I don't know the answers to that. I don't know if I'm allowed to ask the question, but I have asked it, and I've asked it many times. But I just want to say this. Intimacy with God comes through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus died that we could be forgiven. And if you want to know intimacy with God, get rid of your sin by confessing it and accepting that the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed us from all sin. And as far as the east is from the west, some of you need to hear this now, as far as the east is from the west, so God has removed our sins from us. Sin kills. The Spirit gives life. Intimacy with God comes as we humble ourselves and say, God, I just need to be intimate with you today. And God says, well, you know the score. Don't carry anything that would hinder you knowing me in a moment of intimacy. And your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Somebody rang me many moons ago and said, have you read this magazine recently? And they said, your name isn't mentioned in it. And they felt it should have been. And I said to the person, my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. It doesn't have to be in any other book or magazine. Here we go. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. You know, Christians can be, of all men and women, most miserable. I mean, it's true. I watch people, because I'm always analysing. I was doing it this morning. I watch people worshipping. You think, no, you weren't. You're at the front. No, I can see. Eyes in the back of my head. And you know, we're worshiping and you think we're rejoicing, but then when we live our normal daily lives, the daily round and common task, it could be something entirely different. So rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Now we come to the passage, the few verses I intended speaking on. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, who is the girl who is talking about breast cancer? What's your name? Oh, yes, Fiona. Well, my wife had cancer. And I was anxious. In fact, I cried. And a guy from France came to me. He didn't come to me, he phoned me. Just as I was bawling my eyes out one Saturday, 3 days after a diagnosis. I look back and think, why didn't I win it? I was anxious. I'm glad you're not anxious. But you might be anxious. But, you know, the Bible says, do not be anxious. Now, the word that we get the word English with anxious, it just means don't be inwardly self-centered to such a degree that it becomes counterproductive. I think I feel condemned already. I don't. And I'll tell you why. Because the mercy of God rewrites our lives. Hear it? The mercy of God rewrites our history. It's the name of a song. And when I first heard it, I thought, that describes me. That describes my whole life. It describes my ministry in Bracknell. It describes my marriage. It's going to describe anything that I'm facing in the future. The mercy of God rewrites our lives. Don't be anxious. You say, that's just unreal, Ben Davis. It's not unreal. If God says it, it is possible. Do not be anxious. And people say, yeah, but if you knew my mother, she was a neurotic. Well, I'm like her. It's in my genes. You know, my father was like that. You know, if you knew my granny, I'm just like her. I'm told you're just like her. Listen, if God says, don't be anxious. And these words are written to people who are born again. These words are written to people who are regenerated, who've got the righteousness of God in them. These words are written to people who've been fundamentally changed. I can understand unbelievers saying, well, I'm anxious, but believers? Now, listen, it's unthinkable for a believer to be anxious. Say, that's ridiculous. Come on, live in. What sort of world do you live in? I live in the same world as you, believe it or not. I have the same pressures as you, the same and similar temptations, shop in the same shops, have to make ends meet. I used to imagine when people say, well, you're a vicar or a minister, you live in a different world from us. I do not. So if the Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, then I think, okay, God, anything. That's really tough, God. Say, God, yeah, I'm a tough God. I can cope with whatever. Listen, when you listen to Simon, you could get anxious about school. People used to say to me, these are my friends, Job's comforting friends. You wait till your kids go to school. Then it's going to be different. And you start feeling a bit panicky. You wait till they go to secondary school. You wait till they get into puberty. I used to say to them, I don't even understand the word. What are you telling me? That's a lie. And in the end, I started saying to people, bring it on. I'm waiting. You wait till you get into your job. You wait till you hit ill health. You wait till you get old. I'm old at 79, although I'll fight anybody on it if they tell me that. Listen, you can be anxious because you're old. There's a good reason to be anxious because you're old in our society, because society is really zeroed in on young people, and church life is like that. And you can say, you know, I'm anxious because I'm old, because nobody listens to me. That would be a good thing. You know, my hip, my ears, my eyes. I was driving into the sun this morning. It was terrible. I'm holding my steering wheel one hand because dappled sunshine really gets up my eyes. I'm thinking, it was never like that when I was young. Listen, don't be anxious about anything. What are you anxious about? Now, I'm not discounting saying, you know, we're not sympathetic to you. But listen, God doesn't give sympathy. He gives deliverance. Oh, you're anxious. I understand you. Let me give you another little kiss on the cheek. He says, come on, don't be anxious about anything. Why not, God? Because I'm God. And I'm the answer to your anxiety. That's what the Bible says. I'm here to tell you what the Bible says. I'm not here to tell you what my flesh would like to say. Now listen, you've got a choice, right? You have a choice. What do you think the choice is in the way you approach anxiety? Come on. What you? It's a stark choice you've got. I've got it on a card. I've done this to you before. I have it on a card. If you get the right answer on the card, you can go to the Bahamas or you can go to the Caribbean and watch England lose at cricket. But you're not into that, are you? Cricket? No. Are you into English rugby? I was so gutted when my fellow Celtic nation was beaten by the English. No, I better not go on with that. Listen, what's our choice when it comes to...
Take every
pardon?
Take every thought captive.
That's really good. Take every thought captive. That's brilliant. No, that's brilliant. It's not on the card, so you haven't won it. But it's nevertheless right. What's our choice? That is your... Pardon?
Embrace it.
I'm getting old. When I say this, I'm getting benign. All these questions are right, really, but they're wrong. No, they're not wrong. They're just not on the card. Let me tell you what the choice is. You can either, and I'm using a biblical expression, we can either, not you, me as well, when it comes to anxiety and the things that cause anxiety, we can either meet it in the flesh or we can meet it in the spirit. Right, now, let me give you some verses from Scripture. Can we have them up, the next one, please? Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And that sounds like a threat. It's not. It's a spiritual principle. It's an eternal principle. It's an international principle. Right. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, the sinful nature said, I need to worry about this. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. You see, anxiety, when we're anxious, it's like living life with your finger pressed on the self-destruct button. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. That is our choice. Honestly, it's our choice. You can make the right choice because God is in you, because Christ is in you, because the Holy Spirit is in you, because you got every, and the Word of God is in you. You got every opportunity to make the right choice. To say, I can't make that choice. If you are in Christ and Christ is in you, you can make that choice. You can say, I'm not going to make it in the flesh. The flesh says it's terrible, you know, I've got to worry and nobody else has got these pressures that I've got. That's the flesh and it destroys you. But the Spirit brings life and demonstrates life in you. Let's have a look at another one. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live according with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Do you know, it is a battle of the mind. And it's not like self-help or I must try harder. It's got nothing to do with that. It's to do with the recognition I have a choice. I can set my mind on the things of the flesh. I can look at schools. I can look at the porn. And isn't it dreadful? And I don't want to get out of bed in the morning and so on. I feel so wretched. Or you can think, hey, God's in charge of my life. I don't like it at the moment, but God's in charge of it. I wish I didn't go through this, but God's in charge of my life. I don't know why I'm in this problem in my marriage, but God is in charge of my life. That's setting your mind on the things of the Spirit. You say, that's too simplistic. You don't know the complications of my life. Well, actually, your argument isn't with me, it's with God. Go and tell God, hey, God, I think you're too simplistic to inspire a guy to write these things. You know, you need to understand me, God. Do you know what God says to that? I think you need to understand me. Because I think I might know a bit more than you. And I might have a bit more power than what you've got. Listen, I live in the same world as you. I've had stuff coming at me as a man, as a husband, as a father, now as a grandfather, and as a minister. That was my job. Stuff was coming at me that I could tear my hair out. In the early days, I used to try and tear my hair out. I wish I'd let the word of God dwell in me richly. Because that's in the Bible. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So the word of Christ is this. Those who live according to the sinful man's death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. Do you know, if we choose to live by the flesh, we're hostile to God. The Bible says it. It's just so brilliant. It's so releasing. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. But those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Do you have any more scriptures coming up, please? Oh, yes. The fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'm not very patient. I hope my future wife is merciful, because I want tomorrow to happen yesterday. Can you imagine the stress of selling a house? People said to me, it's one of the biggest stresses you'll ever go through in your life. I had to kill that off. I began to believe it. But I want the house sold straight away, first customer, buy it. Doesn't work like that. Those of you who've done it, I'm not very patient. Hope I'm kind. I think I'm good, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All these are the fruits of the Spirit. Against such there is no law. Do you know, there's no law that can stop us producing the fruits of the Spirit. There is no law that can stop us living according to the Spirit and not living according to the flesh. There's nobody can stop. I'd be like that, but my wretched neighbor. I'd be like that, but my wretched mother-in-law. I'd be like that, but the wretched memories of the way my father brought me up. Folks, I'd be like that if I was in a much better church. Be like that, and I'd be able to be patient, and I'd be able to move in the Spirit if the leaders of the church recognize me and give me the due rewards I need. That is bunkum. Have I made myself clear? It's bunkum. Because God's in charge of our lives. Just live it in the Spirit. You might think I'm joking. You might think I'm not in reality. You have no idea what has hit me in life. So much hit me before I was 10 years of age. It was unbelievable, and that is gospel truth. But years later, I wish I'd learned it when I was 10, but it was years later I began to learn this. The fruit of the Spirit. You see, We live according to the Spirit, not the flesh. And flesh, and the flesh kills, but the Spirit brings life. And the fruit, and you say, well, if my life was different, I could be producing all these types of fruits. You'd never produce those types of fruits, because it's not you who produces them. It's the Holy Spirit. They're the fruits of the Spirit. It is He who produces them in our lives. Am I convincing you? It's just remarkable. I haven't come on to praying yet. Let's move on. Am I right for time? Yes? When I handed over to the church in Bracknell, I was allowed to preach once or twice more. And I looked at the pastor, because I wanted to submit to him, although I never did, because he was an Englishman. And and I said, am I all right for time? And he said, you're cool. I said to the congregation, this church has gone mad. I asked the time, and he gives me the temperature. Right. Where are we? But in every... Do not be anxious about everything, but in every situation by prayer and petition. Now, I've got a thing about praying. First of all, prayer is general. Petition is specific. I listened to what I was going to say. So I listened to the people praying over you, Fiona. And I'm thinking they're not specific enough. But let me say about praying specifically. Name it, say it the way it is, ask God for it. God, please heal Fiona. Now she may say, just pray a different prayer. I thank you that she's healed. Well, whatever she would tell you. But don't moon around when you're praying. Oh God, the cattle on 1,000 hills are yours. I know you're here every day. You know, where two or three are gathered together, there you are in the midst of them, and there's more than that here. And I know, God, you can do it. I want to stand up and say, for God's sake, what are you saying to him? I want to say, prayer meetings are desperate affairs. I think, somebody tell God what is going on here. God, please get me out of debt. God, please, I've got this terrible temptation. Please deliver me. God, please change our preachers. They're deadly people. Don't do that in public. You might want to do that in private. Now, seriously, listen, get your praying in terms of petitioning. Tell God what you need, what you want. Ask him for it. And because the little voice says, you can't ask God for that. You can't ask God for money. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. There's another one. There's a number of women. I'm sad for single women in church life, because often they're in churches where there's too few men. And those who are there need a good bath and a good wash and have their hair. And these men need to know how to woo women. I feel sorry for women in the church. So I made this statement. If you want a man, a husband, just ask God for a husband. And if you need my help, come out the front. So I say to these girls, I mean, they're in their late 20s. I'm sorry for them. They're desperate to have a man. I need a man. So I said to them, go on, ask God for a man. Do it now. How do you do it? Just say, God, please give me a man. And I said, tell God what type of man you want. I want a tall man. And whatever. And I said, do it every day until God either tells you to shut up, you're not having one, or he's not put up. The tragedy was, about a month later, I used to do it again. And I called these women. I said, what's been going on? Well, we've stopped praying. I think you must be crazy. You can't have the call of the wild in you. I mean, if you want a husband or a wife, then ask God. If you want more money, ask God. Let your requests be made known to God. And but listen, before you pray in public, you need to be praying in private. Because what goes on in public is a reflection of what goes on in private. And if you don't learn to grapple with God in private, you see, what does the verse say? But in every situation, by prayer and petition. So if you're not in private, really petitioning God, grappling with, use whatever terminology you want to, wrestling with God. God, I don't understand why you haven't answered me. I've been asking this for 5 years and so on. But God, you are sovereign. I'm going to submit to you. But God, can I just talk to you again? I'm not talking about worship and praise. I'm talking about petition. And God. You see, if you don't do that in private, you will never do it with your spouse. And if you don't do it with your spouse, when you go to a life group or a small group, whatever term is used for your particular group, you won't do it there. And it'll sound hollow when you do it. And when you come to a church prayer meeting, you say, you won't have any experience of how to pray because you don't do it in private. We need to start these jolly things in private. God, I need you. God, I need revelation, whatever it is. God, I'm so anxious about my children. They're off the rails. And is it my fault or is it their fault? And God, can you do something for me? Oh God, my old parents, they're getting older and they begin to lose it. And they're living 200, 300 miles away. God, listen. Petition God. Don't you know that God, he's concerned about us. So, you know, the negative, I've no anxiety, but in everything, by prayer and petition, I think the authorized version is supplication. And I say, when people pray for you, stop them. If they're not praying the right prayers, stop. Just let get it sorted. I said that. I said that to people. My wife, when she's gone to glory now, she went to a church, and the church said, Mo would like to come up and pray for you. She said, no, thanks. I thought, what is she on about? I said, why did you say that? I won't tell you what the answer was, but it was pretty honest. I don't want anybody around me who's, you know, praying silly prayers. I want somebody, when they pray for me, to get me right into the presence. Are you with me on this? You with me on it? And what the result is? The peace of God, which passes all understanding. Is that what it says? The peace of God which transcends all understanding. Because we all want peace, true or false. We want inner peace, don't we? Well, let me tell you. If we trust God and we ask God, the peace of God, and the peace of God produces peace with God. See, and the peace of God transcends. Listen, the peace of God isn't relative. It transcends. It trumps everything. You can play. I often feel in my relationship with God, I'm playing cards. And I put these cards on the table, you know. And anxiety and lack of this and lack of that and whatever, self-centeredness and memories that I should have dealt with years ago. And then there's another man at the table, his name is Jesus, and he plays his cards. Forgiveness and joy and peace. And every card that Jesus plays with you trumps everything you put up to him. Yeah, well, I've got this other card in my back pocket, in my inside pocket. You know, it's deep anxiety or I've got mental issues here. Peace. I tell you, we need to live in the realm of the supernatural. Thank you. Because we tend to live in the realm of the mind. And it's the mind that causes us to be distracted because it's in the flesh. Living in the realm of the supernatural is living in the spirit. You can say to me, Ben, are you trying to persuade me God answers all our prayers? Da, da, da. No, I'm not trying to tell you that. I'm just telling you that if you live in the realm of the spirit, the supernatural, the peace of God. Because, you know, I don't think the Apostle Paul ever asked God, change my experiences, change my situation, God. He would just say, live in the realm of the Spirit and the peace of God. Because you can be in the same situation that you were 5 years ago, but the difference is now, instead of living in the realm of the flesh, we live in the realm of the Spirit. And it's got nothing to do with experience or wisdom that comes through old age or the enthusiasm of youth. It's to do with, I have an intimacy with God and with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. He is going to do things in me that will transcend anything I'm going through. Do you know, we ought to pray, God, give us revelation. Because we need revelation to understand these things. It's not, I must read the Bible more. It's, God, give me revelation, what it means to live in the Spirit. God, have mercy on me. I'm praying now. I'm saying, God, please have mercy on me, what I've said. I ask, oh God, that the pitiful utterances of this morning that's come out of my mouth and heart, you will change to your glory and the benefit of us all. And we thank you. I've mentioned this, it says with thanksgiving. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are alive. We thank you that Jesus is alive. We thank you the Holy Spirit is alive. We thank you that we are alive. Father, we thank you for every situation we found ourselves in. We thank you, O God, that you are Lord of everything. We thank you, Father, that we were taught to read so we can read the Bible. We thank you for every moment of revelation. I thank you, God, for the folks here. I thank you for Dave and Ruth. We thank you for our fellowship in the gospel, Father. We thank you for your word, which is true. When we stand with the Apostle Paul, God, and we say, I've learned to be content with plenty and with little. We thank you, O God, that where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. We thank you, Father, that your mercy has rewritten our lives and will rewrite our lives. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your Son. It's almost puerile to say he's worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be praised. And we thank you. I thank you, God, for this local expression of your beautiful church, Jubilee Shepparton. I thank you for it from all the days I've known about it. And now, oh God, I ask you, please bless it for your Son's sake and then for theirs. Will you look at me before I finish? I'm looking at your faces. Is he going to ever finish? Listen, let me take this section here. God bless you. God bless you. Doesn't matter who you are, what age, doesn't matter what your background is, God bless you with mercy that rewrites your life. In the middle here, God bless you. God bless you in your thinking. God bless you in your believing. God bless you in your receiving. God bless you with your neighbors. God bless you, body, soul, and spirit. God bless you with vision. God bless you with immense revelation. And you lot here, a few of you here, so you're the quality and they're the quantity. Listen, God bless you. Just look at me. God bless you. Simon, God bless you in the field of education, but God bless you as a bloke. God bless you as a man in the secret places of your own life where nobody is noticing you and watching you. God bless you. Talked to a guy just in front of you. He's been here for years. I forget your name, sir, but God bless you. Jeremy, I can pick you out because I remember your name. God bless you. God bless you. You say, well, mention my name. Well, I can't, but God knows you. So I say, God, you know my name? He goes, I'm going to bless you. The guys at the back, the people who serve the drinks here. Listen, God bless you. Receive the blessing. These are not words. Receive it. Say, this is wonderful, God. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, I say to you, be blessed. If I never see you again, I will have this utter certainty. That company of believers are going to be blessed. Do you know why? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. When I speak death, somebody dies. When I speak life, somebody comes alive. I have spoken life to you. You are going to become alive more and more because God is bigger than us put together.